Good afternoon to all of you. Certainly good to see all of you and those of you online. We're happy to have you with us. So years ago, a question came in asking how many Passovers did Jesus Christ observe during his ministry? The simple answer is that he kept more than the last one. And so the title of this study is The Passovers Jesus Christ Kept. Now, the Bible spends much time, as we will see, discussing his last Passover. And we find this beginning in Luke 22, verse 15. Luke 22 and verse 15. And when he had said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So this was his last one, and it was this Passover before he suffered. So this one, without question, is the one he observed the night before he died. But as we'll see, it was not the only one he kept. The first one that is noted is in his early life when he was young. And we find this in Luke 2, Luke 2, verse 41. Luke 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. So they went up every year, and it was and they did so according to the custom of the feast. And so we see that he was 12 years old at that time, and this is the one that was recorded when he was 12. When Jesus became an adult and began his ministry, we read of him following this same pattern, observing the Passover in Jerusalem. Let's now notice John 2. John 2 and verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And the miracle was that he turned water into wine. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So he went there, and at that Passover, we find after his first miracle, verse 14, he found in the temple those who had sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple. Basically, the animals he drove out, the sheep and the oxen, and poured the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold the doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. So that was early on in his ministry, and it was here that he gave the disciples the Jews actually asked him for a sign at this point in verse 18. And Jesus said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now this comes back to Jesus Christ at his last Passover, this particular statement he made. So referring to the time of his death and then eventual resurrection. As we see in verse 21, he was speaking of the temple of his body. Verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. And so this could not have been the Passover at the end, because we know that at the end, the last one, it says, before I suffer. He didn't suffer after this one. In fact, chapter 3 talks about the Pharisee named Nicodemus, who came to him, and he discussed the doctrine of born again to Nicodemus. Now we find another reference to a Passover season in John 6, verse 4. John 6, verse 4. Now the Passover, a feast of Jews, was near. So we're seeing a statement that it was there. The season was there. Now, just before this event, we see that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. That's in chapter 5. And the Jews sought to kill him. And Jesus responded to them in verse 46 of chapter 5, "If you believe Moses, you'd believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" This is a different time than it was there, which we saw earlier in John 2, because John 2, he had just performed the miracle of the water turning into wine. This is a different time. A man was healed on the Sabbath. And notice that after, with the Passover there in verse 4, notice what happened here. Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So we're talking about the time of the feeding of the thousands with the barley loaves and the two small fish. So the whole context here is different than in John 2. Different time. It was not at the first nor at the end. Now there's a third possibility of a Passover season noted, and that's in Luke 6, verse 1. It's very, what would be called, not as clear as we would like it. We would like to see it being, but still there is this reference, and let's notice it here in Luke 6, verse 1. Luke 6, verse 1. "It happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields. His disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them." So that's when they went through on the Sabbath and ate from the grain that was in the fields. Now, what is this one? What does this mean? This is the only occurrence in the New Testament where this phrase is found, the second Sabbath. And there is some controversy about this particular phrase. Now, Vine's dictionary says that this is the second first of a Sabbath. Again, that doesn't really tell us much. Liddell and Scott translate it as the first Sabbath after the second day of unleavened bread. So there's some question as to the translation of this verse. And we don't know for sure. But the timing is the eating of grains, which could have been in the spring and after Passover. So if so, then this would be another reference, passing reference, to a different Passover season, as the context is different here than what took place in John 2 and in John 6. But the point is clear. We do see Jesus keeping a Passover in his early ministry in John 2 in Jerusalem. And the scriptures do reveal at least one or maybe two other times the Passover season is noted. But what I'd like to do for the remainder of the study is to go through the events of his last Passover. Now, these events are noted throughout the Gospels. Sometimes one Gospel will say one thing and the other Gospels will not add it. So what I'm going to try to do here is combine the information into a chronological order of the events that happened on the night of his Passover. I'm hoping to get it all in within the Bible study. So that means if you want to bookmark Matthew 26, Luke 22, and John 13. And if you want, you can just mark the scripture down. I will read it, and it will go from point by point by point as to what occurred. First of all, let's look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And in verse 2. Matthew 26, verse 2. You know that after two days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they plotted to take Jesus by trickery and to kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. It was 2 days before. Next we come to the preparation of the Passover. We go to Luke 22. In Luke 22, and beginning in verse 8. Luke 22 and verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us for what we may eat. And they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters, and you will say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples? So there was a planning involved. Just like even now, today we plan, where are we going to keep the Passover? They were planning to keep it, and they showed up, and there was an upper room, and it was made ready. So in verse 13, they went and found it as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover, and when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with them. And so Matthew and Mark both say that it was in the evening that he came. So this had to have been the beginning of the 14th day. Next, what takes place is they have this dinner, and during dinner, Jesus washes their feet.
John 13. John 13, verse 2. This is the only place in the Gospels where the foot washing is mentioned. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own and who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's verse 1. Verse 2, supper being ended, and actually it should read, during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So while they're eating during supper, as we'll see, the rest of the chapter brings that out too, Jesus Christ goes back to an event that had happened just prior to the Passover. Remember, we saw earlier it was 2 days before the Passover. Within those 2 days there in Matthew, Judas did something, and we see Christ is stating a comment of what had already happened to Judas. And if you want as a reference scripture, and I'll just read it here, this is in Luke 22, verse 1 to 6, that Satan entered Judas, who was numbered with the 12, and he went his way and confirmed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. Matthew says they weighed out to him 30 pieces of silver. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. So this had already taken place, and Jesus knew it, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. And Judas is right there in that dinner. So we go on, John 13, verse 3. And we'll just read these verses here, as we'll read most of these on Passover evening, but let's just notice a few points. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, so it was during supper, and he laid aside his garments and took a towel, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Of course, he came to Simon, and Simon was asking a question, "Are you washing my feet?" And he said, "What I'm doing to you, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." And so, of course, Simon said, "Well, not only my feet, but my hands and my head." And Jesus said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." Judas was there. Not all of you. "For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" So when he had washed their feet, took up his garments and sat down, he said, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord and say, 'Well, so I am.' If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you as an example that you should do as I've done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." He did that then. We do that in the future. And then it goes on to say, "I do not speak concerning all of you." Again, Judas was there. "I know whom I've chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." And he's quoting from the Psalms. He's quoting a verse from Psalm 41, verse 9. So even there, in that atmosphere, he's quoting scripture. "I tell you before it comes that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Now keep your place there in John. Notice Matthew 26. We come to the next point, Matthew 26, where the betrayer is identified. Because no one else knew. No one knew except Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, verse 21. "Now as they were eating," again, as they're eating the dinner, "assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each one began to say, 'Lord, is it I? Am I the one?'" And then notice what he answered here. And he said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." Judas now knew that Jesus knew who the betrayer was. And he condemned himself. "Is it I? You've said it." Now, go back to John 13. We pick up the story. We pick up the story because the disciples now were wondering who it was, even though this discussion had taken place with Jesus and Judas. John 13, verse 23. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved," which was John. "Simon Peter therefore motioned to him," who is of whom he spoke. "And so leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, 'Lord, who is it?' And Jesus answered, 'It is he to whom I will give a piece of bread when I've dipped it.' And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." So John knew. And notice the next verse. "Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.'" It's during this meal. Satan actually comes into that group of the disciples and enters into Judas. And Jesus Christ is saying to Judas, and in a sense to Satan, go and do quickly what you need to do. So right there you find that the betrayer is identified and Judas now leaves. He goes. Do what you do quickly. Now, no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought because Judas had the money box, that Jesus said to him, go buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And having received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. So we get the context of when it took place. Now, let's go back to Luke 22, because this discussion is only found in Luke. A discussion you don't find in the other Gospels, but this occurred on Passover evening. This discussion among the disciples about who was great, about greatness among them. Verse 24, Luke 22, verse 24. This is after the foot washing. Now there was a dispute among them as to who should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. And so again, it goes back to what he had done earlier. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And here we have the fact that he's reminding them of the service that he did earlier, by washing their feet, and then also the place where they are noted during that Passover that they are going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel later on in the kingdom of God. It's the promise to his disciples given at Passover. Now, again, keep place in Luke 22. Let's go back to John 13. In verse 31, and this is only found in John's account. And here you find a new commandment. Jesus Christ now is telling them, a new commandment I give you. So in John 13, verse 31, so when he had gone out, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I'll be with you a little while longer. You'll seek me, as I have said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you. So this is the context of where this new commandment was mentioned. That you love one another as I've loved you. That you love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So again, the emphasis was on loving one another. As we see throughout Jesus Christ's life and what we are to do. We now need to go back to Luke. Luke 22, verse 31. And we begin to see Jesus Christ specifically telling us about Peter. And what Peter will do and would do. I titled it, The First Prophecy of Peter's Denial. Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Remember, this is after Satan entered Judas. And Jesus specifically tells Christ, Satan has wanted you. He wants you. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. When you have returned. And he shows that if you, you know, by saying the word return, that means you went away. When you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. And he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And again, notice how that is worded, that you know me. Now we go back to Luke 22. Oh, we are in Luke 22. Anyway, it was interesting putting this all together, and you're able to do it through using a harmony of the Gospels. Luke 22, verse 35 now. And he said to them, when I sent you out, and this is a prophecy showing that he would be numbered with the transgressors. In verse 35, that you didn't lack anything, and they said nothing. And he said, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it. Likewise, a knapsack, he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And he quotes again from the Old Testament, and he quotes from Isaiah 53, verse 12. So he quoted earlier from Psalms, now he's quoting from Isaiah. And so they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. In other words, there's no need to go out and buy swords. We already have enough right here, two swords, to fulfill this particular prophecy. Now we come to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 begins to culminate that evening with all the discussion, all that went on. You know, looking through this and the detail that's involved, I would say that this is the most detailed evening ever recorded in the scriptures of Nisan 14, the Passover. So Matthew 26, verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave to them, drink from all of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, as a reference scripture, it adds that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Every year, we are reminded of what Jesus Christ did for us. Now, prior to them leaving, prior to them going out to the Mount of Olives, Jesus taught the disciples many, many other things. And that's found from John 14 to John 16, and finally the prayer by Jesus in John 17. And those are the scriptures that we'll be looking at tomorrow night, as we usually do after we partake of the bread and of the wine. And looking at all of what he writes and all of what he instructs, that means that that night has given us so much information, but it does not end there. And we're going to see more in the sermon about what happened after they went out to the Mount of Olives, about his arrest, trial, and death, all that occurred on Passover in 31 A.D.